Lecture 14, Buddhist Tantra.
In the last lecture, we took a journey into what you might call the high monastic culture of India. This was a world of fine intellectual distinctions, sophisticated debate, as you would expect from the monasteries that for 700 or 800 years were the bearers of Buddhist culture in India. In their day, these monasteries were probably as complex and as influential as modern universities are for us today. But there was much more going on in Indian Buddhism than just the elevated intellectual activity in these monasteries. On the fringes of Indian civilization, in the unsettled areas at the edge of the forest, maybe by the roadside, in remote rural areas of India, and in the frightening and impure spaces in the cremation grounds on the edge of major cities, another vision of Buddhist practice began slowly to emerge. This vision eventually came to be known as Tantra. The tantric version of Buddhism brought about another profound change in Buddhist values. So our job in this lecture is to try to understand the shape of this new revolution. Tantric Buddhism began to emerge in India during the 6th century of the Common Era. And I use the word emerge because, once again, as in the case of the Mahayana, we don't really know where this began. Its origins are quite obscure. Like the Mahayana, it's traced back to the time of the Buddha. But if it was available in any way during the lifetime of the Buddha, it was passed on very much in secrecy for quite a long time because it only emerged as a full cultural phenomenon in India many centuries after the lifetime of the Buddha himself. And Tantra is really a pan-Indian phenomenon. It's found not just in Buddhism, but also in Hinduism and in other Indian religious traditions like Jainism. There was a recent, very fine collection of sources about Tantra in India that has recently been published. And in that text, you can find examples even of Islamic Tantra in India, quite remarkably. So Tantra is a religious tradition that is found across the whole sweep of the Indian religious landscape. So Tantric Buddhism shares a lot of important concepts, symbols, and ritual practices with its Tantric counterparts in other Indian traditions. As was true with earlier movements like the Mahayana, Tantric Buddhism produced an extraordinary transformation in Buddhist values. So the first question that we might ask ourselves about Tantra is whether this means that Tantra is in some sense a whole new form of Buddhism. We need to ask that question in detail by looking at Tantra itself, but it's a perfectly legitimate question to ask right at the very beginning. Is Tantra brand new? Is it a new form of Buddhism? Well, not necessarily. Sometimes people treat the Tantric tradition as a separate vehicle alongside the Hinayana, or the lesser vehicle, and the Mahayana, the great vehicle that we've talked about in so much detail. But I think it's more accurate and more helpful for us to think of Tantra as really an extension of the values of the Mahayana. I'll present it this way, and you should think about it this way, I think, as we begin to explore the different ways the Tantric tradition diverges, and sometimes diverges quite radically, from anything that we've seen in the Buddhist tradition previously. Now, I think the best way for us to start studying Tantra in a substantive way, to begin to look into the question of what Tantra actually is to look at some of the names that people use to refer to the Tantric tradition. They tell us something about what the tradition itself involves. They identify important aspects of Tantra, and they help us, to some degree or another, begin to differentiate it from the earlier traditions that we're already familiar with. Start with the word Tantra itself. What does that mean? Well, it turns out it's actually pretty mysterious. It's got several different meanings, and it's hard for us to know exactly which one is the one that most directly applies to the Tantric tradition, especially in its origin.